Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have in studio with us today Leah Weston. She's an ecologist with the Friends of the Mississippi River, and we cannot wait to hear about this organization and some of the really great things that are coming up locally that we can participate in. Leah, really nice to meet you. I think you might be the first ecologist I've ever met. Wow. Maybe I've met some and I just didn't know, but tell us what an ecologist is, please.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. So I'm an ecologist with Friends of the Mississippi River, and our little land conservation team works to improve habitat throughout the Mississippi River corridor in the Twin Cities. So we are kind of the boots on the ground people that are in prairies and woodlands and forests, surveying the plants and animals that are there, monitoring the native plant community, and then assessing what needs to happen to improve it. So we're really working to enhance biodiversity within the Twin Cities corridor of the Mississippi River and protect really key habitats along the way.
Well, the Mississippi River is a national park.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. So when you say you are protecting the, what do you call it, the Twin Cities corridor, what does that entail? How far up north does it go and how far south?
Yeah, so the National Park Corridor, it's called the Mississippi National River and Recreation Area, and it's a 72-mile stretch.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it goes from Elk River, is kind of its
sure.
northern part.
Okay.
All the way through Minneapolis, through St. Paul, to here, to Hastings. And this is kind of the end of the National Park Corridor.
72 miles? Elk River is not 72 miles from us.
Right, but the river is windy.
Of course.
Yeah. Right, as the crow flies, or maybe as the interstate flies.
I see what you're
but
saying.
Yeah, the river is the stretch.
I love it. So I guess I mean, I know where Elk River is, and I've been to Elk River, but I don't know what the Mississippi River looks like there. Does it look similar to here, or does it widen as it goes south?
You know, that's such a good question. I don't know if the width changes, but the surrounding landscape looks a little bit different.
It does. Tell me more.
Yeah. So in Hastings, we've got these limestone bluffs. If you look across the river, it's got the rocks on either side.
Yeah.
And you can see little pockets of prairie or kind of deciduous forest, so leaves that change colors during the fall.
Is that what deciduous means?
Deciduous, yes. Deciduous are those trees that change the magnificent colors and then drop
okay.
their leaves.
Okay. And you're saying Elk River doesn't have that?
I'm saying Elk River does have that, but it's a little bit different of a plant community.
Okay.
There's more floodplain forest and woodland areas.
Mm-hmm.
There still is prairie, but it's not quite those limestone bluff prairies that we have as we move further south down here.
Mm-hmm.
And the landscape is a little bit different. There's more agricultural areas up there. Kind of the South Metro is a little bit more developed in the areas that we work in, although towards Elk River is rapidly developing. And yeah, it's a little bit different because the river hasn't moved through the cities yet.
So once the river hits the Twin Cities, is that the biggest metro area that they'll see, the first one before they start downstream?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then what does that mean for a river when it moves through a big city?
Yeah, that's such a good question. It picks up a lot of things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So litter?
Litter and trash and pollutants, so a lot of fertilizer runoff from people's yards,
okay.
or nitrogen runoff from pet waste.
Pet waste?
Yeah, you wouldn't think that it's a big source, but it is a big source of nitrogen pollution.
Didn't know that.
In
okay.
the city area, yeah.
Are you talking about like pets that I have at my house?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So you think about those little dog poop bags?
Yes.
That sometimes accidentally get left alongside a trail.
Yes.
When it rains, the rainwater hits that poop and it takes it away. And it's running downstream right to the river.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's not good, of course, if it's in a plastic bag either.
No.
I mean, but that's what we're supposed to be doing. But we should dispose of it in a different way.
Right.
Right.
Pick it up, put it in the trash.
Okay. I'm learning so much. This is fascinating, Leah. So from Elk River, I would assume there's still a lot of farmland up there as well.
Yep.
So they would have agricultural runoff, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then in the Twin Cities, do sewers go into the Mississippi River? How does that work?
Such a good question. So I'm not our water expert, right?
Okay.
I do a lot of the land work kind of in the watershed, but I'm not a water quality specialist. So most, if not all, of the water system does get treated. Like when you flush the toilet, it's going to a treatment facility.
Yes.
But the storm drains, those are direct connections to the river. So if you think about your streets and roads, they're the gutters along the street. When it rains, all your rainwater is rushing down into the gutters, and that gets directly piped to water bodies. So there's no treatment of that. Whatever lands on the road ends up in the water.
Okay. So you're saying a lot of times that tin cans or different things that we might see floating in the river isn't because somebody threw that directly into the river. It's because it was picked up somewhere along the line in a storm sewer.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
Or, you know, someone, you accidentally leave some trash next to your sidewalk, or someone, it flies out your car window. If it's on the landscape and it gets moved down into one of those storm sewers, it can end up in the river.
Okay. Wow. So you are an ecologist. So can you tell the health of a river by the foliage around it?
You can tell the health of the habitat corridor.
Okay.
So our team does a lot of work with making sure that there's habitat for migratory birds and pollinators and small mammals, kind of the plants and animals that rely on the river for water, but also need those prairie grasses, or they need the woodland as habitat.
So is that a muskrat? What is that? What would a small mammal be?
Yeah, we've got all kinds of things. Raccoons and foxes.
Oh, okay.
And deer, possums.
So the mission is to keep the habitat healthy. And a healthy habitat is important, as you said, for migratory birds and that type of thing. And is it true that birds really do use something like a river as a guide to get from point A to point B? Is that why it's important also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So our Friends of the Mississippi River, our mission is to engage people to protect, restore, and enhance the Mississippi River and its watershed in the Twin Cities.
What does watershed mean, please?
So watershed is the boundary area that where one drop of rain rains on it, it'll drain to the same spot. So the watershed in the Twin Cities, every drop of rain that rains here is going to end up in the Mississippi River.
It is?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seep into our ground?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Some goes into the ground.
But you're talking about runoff or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
If we have a torrential rain.
Yeah.
Okay. And if it goes into the sewer, it eventually will go into the Mississippi River.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you think rainwater is polluted by the time it gets to us ever because of all the pollution in the sky?
I think we used to have bigger issues with that. You
okay.
hear you used to hear about acid rain
yes.
a lot.
And you don't hear as much.
You don't hear as much.
Okay.
No, we've done a lot with our regulations to clean up those big air polluters.
Okay.
So now when the rain comes down, it's pretty clean. You can collect it. You can water your garden with it. Don't drink it, but you can water plants. You can use it for other things.
So you help us all the way from Elk River to Hastings. And was Hastings just kind of a natural stop, or
yeah.
what made it end here?
Right. That's such a good question. Hastings is situated in a really unique spot.
Okay.
It's at the confluence of the Vermilion River and the Mississippi River. So both of those rivers come together in Hastings. And because of that, two big river systems coming together, this area is really important for wildlife. It's really important for those corridors. Like we talked about, the animals use the river as a way to navigate. Animals need water. So they can use the river and the habitat along the way to move. And when you've got two big river systems colliding at the same spot, it almost doubles your impact of what that area can mean for those animals. So Friends of the Mississippi River, we've partnered with the city of Hastings for more than 20 years to improve habitat in the city. And I don't know how it started. I don't know if the city wanted us or if we wanted to be here because of how important this area is. Those details precede me as a staff member. But now, as someone who is looking at habitat in a city scale, Hastings has a lot going on.
Tell us more. I love to hear happy things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there are so many beautiful natural areas in city of Hastings parks. And a lot of it is restored habitat that FMR, Friends of the Mississippi River, has worked in partnership with the city on. So places like Hastings River Flats, which is the area next to Lake Rebecca, kind of in between Lake Rebecca and the Mississippi River. It's this beautiful, open, flat prairie grassland area now. But 20 years ago, it was a tank farm for Flint Hills, the oil refinery. It was just kind of this discarded, I don't want to call it like a wasteland, but like an industrial use landscape. But now we've been working to restore native plants and flowers and grasses, which then help all the animals use it as habitat.
Nice. There still is part of the bridge there, though. Did you know that?
I did. Yeah. I did. And some things, you do the best that you can.
I wonder if that could be fashioned into a piece of art. Do you know Dale Lewis, the artist?
I don't know him, but I've seen his work all over town.
Okay. Why don't you talk to him? Because I bet he could do something very cool with those pieces of iron or something from the old Blue Bridge.
Yeah, I bet he probably could. Because those, at this point, like, we're not moving them. I don't know if anyone has the energy or the resources to do it. We're kind of working around it.
So that is an example of prairie. And then what are some of the other resources? We have a waterfall,
yes,
which I think is so cool.
Yes. Yeah, so Vermilion Falls. Friends of the Mississippi River also works at both of the city parks on either side of the falls. So we work at Vermilion River Linear Park, which is just upstream of the falls, and we've been restoring prairie habitat and floodplain forest at that park for maybe like a decade, I think, maybe a little bit more than that. And then downstream of the falls is Vermilion Falls Park, which gets a lot of use. There's a parking lot, there's a little picnic area, which is really lovely, and we are restoring prairie habitat there, and then also some woodland and some music forest plant communities there too. Both of those parks are connected by the Vermilion River Greenway, which is the bike path that connects them, and that helps people get to those places too. And so that's just one of the best assets, I think, is all of these greenways and bike paths through Hastings, because you can experience the natural beauty that we have, as well as like the area can give birds and pollinators habitat too.
I think we probably take for granted that we have a healthy ecosystem here until you don't. And then you start to pay attention a lot of times in a negative way. So it really is important, the work you're doing behind the scenes.
Right. Well, and that's one of the best parts of this partnership. So we do everything in partnership with the city. Every time we're out, we're letting the city know. So it's really mutual goals. But there are rare habitats just within the city, within these parks. And they're already protected because they're a city park, and that makes the next biggest threat invasive species. And so if Friends of the Mississippi River can come in and help manage those invasive species, help preserve what makes those parks great and these area for the rare species, that's huge. That's a win for everybody.
What are some of the invasive species you're speaking of?
Oh, yeah. The biggest one is common buckthorn.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, which is a woody invasive shrub. It's pretty good at out-competing other things. It's great at finding light and growing really fast, and it makes these delicious berries, which then birds kind of pick up and disperse all over the place.
Oh, that's how it spreads. Okay.
That's one of the ways. And we like to kind of compare birds eating berries to people eating a cupcake. They're delicious. But there's not a lot of nutrition in a cupcake.
And there's crumbs. I leave crumbs everywhere. So that
Oh, I like that.
So that would be how they spread.
Yeah, part of the metaphor. Yeah. But also, they might give you like a lot of sugar, so you get really amped up right away.
Yeah.
But they don't give you a lot of long-term energy.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's kind of like a junk food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have a big event coming up that we want to talk about in conjunction with the city. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we have a big paddle and restore event, which is on October 11th. And in the morning, we are partnering with Twin Cities Kayaks, and we're going to do a kayak paddle on Lake Rebecca. So it's right in the river floodplain. We're going to paddle around the lake, kind of see the little wetland areas, the floodplain forest kind of back there. The city has a new boat launch. I don't know if folks have been to that yet or has seen it post-construction, but there's a really nice new kayak boat launch. And we're just going to kind of get out, see what this area looks like from the water, which is a really unique experience. A lot of times folks see it from the sides, from the edges, but you can see a lot more of it from the water.
Oh, gosh.
You can see all these areas of shoreline that you couldn't normally see. And we have folks from the DNR coming. So Mark Nemeth from the Aquatic Management Area Program is going to come and give us a demonstration on electrofishing in the lake, which don't ask me about it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a fisher, but I'm going to learn from Mark. And then we're going to learn about the DNR's Fishing in the Neighborhood Program. And then we're going to have some lunch. And afterwards, we're going to do a habitat restoration event. So it's this connection between being on the water, seeing this natural resource, and then doing a stewardship activity to help improve and protect it. So we will be walking through the prairie at Hastings River Flats collecting seeds.
Super fun. How can we sign up for something like this, please?
Yeah. So right now we have a wait list, but I do encourage people to check out the wait list and get your name on it, because you never know what's going to come up. You never know when someone's going to have a life event. So you can go to our website, fmr.org/events, and there is a link to sign up for the event. There's also a couple others that you might want to check out while you're there. They're not in Hastings, but they're other ways to kind of get you out and get you active doing restoration events this fall.
So great to meet you. Thank you for coming in today. What great information. And we really should take advantage of some of the wonderful things that go on at the river. Leah Weston is an ecologist with the Friends of the Mississippi River. And again, there's going to be a fun event in Hastings on October 11th at Lake Rebecca Park. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.